this pandemic. I've been following the work going on to track the swine flu virus, to try to get a better understanding of why some people have been really sick when most get better quickly. I've been in the specialist intensive care unit, where capacities had to be expanded to meet demand. And now that the vaccine's here, I've been hearing from the nurses who are reluctant to have it, and from those trying to persuade them to go ahead. Join me, Winifred Robinson, for Planning for Pandemic on BBC Radio 4 on Monday morning at 11.
Our book at bedtime continues now on Radio 4 as Stephen Mangan and Peter Serafinowicz read Owen Colfer's And Another Thing.
The word went out to the sentient beings of Nano that there was some major aggravation about to kick off in the scorched meadow on the outskirts of town, and it would probably be best to steer clear until the earth stopped shaking. Which, of course, meant that everyone made their way immediately to the scorched meadow on the outskirts of town. Thor was limbering up in the scorched meadow, throwing a few shapes and making sure his leggings were securely secured. He felt nervous. This was his first public display since that damnable video had aired, which thankfully no one here seemed to have seen. As far as these people were concerned, he was a first-class god who had never dabbled in rock stardom or candid movies. "If I do well today," Thor realised, "it could go a long way to restoring my reputation." On the far side of the scorched circle, the moment had finally arrived when Wowbagger could kiss this corporeal realm goodbye and good riddance. Several lifetimes of suffering were almost at an end. But there was an uncomfortable thorn in his moment of celebration. The Earthwoman, Trillian Astra. The lady in question was standing by the fence, arguing with her daughter. Zaphod and Ford were reunited in a flurry of complicated Beetlejuicean ritual handshakes that neither of them could ever remember past the second underarm squelch. Arthur trotted towards them. "Vogons," he said, flapping a hand vaguely towards the skies. "There are Vogons on the way."
"Don't worry about it, ape man. Enjoy the moment," said Zaphod.
"Didn't you see what they did to the Earth?" Arthur spluttered. "Don't you remember those death rays?"
"Hey, the Grebulons destroyed the Earth," said Zaphod. "Not the Vogons."
Arthur's hands shook before him, as though he was playing an invisible accordion.
"Vogons, hello! The Vogons are coming!"
"Yeah, we know," said Zaphod. "But they have to jump through some pretty bendy space to get here. By my calculations, they won't make it for a couple of centuries, if they make it at all. Relax, Arthur."
The Thunder God was a huge specimen, at least four times Wowbagger's height. But then a funny thing happened. With every step Thor was taking across the scorched earth, he seemed to grow smaller.
"Zaphod's idea," said Thor, patting his tiny body. "If I just come out here and crush you, how's that going to make me look? Like a bully, that's how. This way, for any cameras pointed at us, I look like a giant killer, which is a much better angle, according to Zaphod, and he knows media."
"So, what happens?" said Wowbagger. "I kneel down and then you clobber me?"
"No, no, that wouldn't work. That's an execution. We have to give these people a show. Zaphod suggests we have a bit of chat first. You stole my ship, blah, blah, blah. Then you strike the first blow. I pretend to be injured, maybe limp a little back and forth. Then boom, on the temple, and the fat lady has well and truly sung, my friend."
Wowbagger glanced at the sidelines. There were tears on Trillian's face.
"Okay, little man."
"It was me. I stole your ship."
Thor puffed out his tiny chest, trying not to look mortified by the script he was supposed to stick to.
"You? My father gave me that interstellar longship, which I named after my beloved goat. Yes, I did steal it, and I'd do it again. I may be a benevolent god-evil giant, but I can only forgive so much.
Cut the buffer biscuit, you preposterous little Viking. Your daddy hates you, and your mummy pretends you're someone else's son.
Thor involuntarily shrank an inch. This wasn't in the script.
Everyone knows it. Thor the drunk, they call you. I think you should have stayed at the bar.
A small thundercloud suddenly appeared overhead, spitting white lightning.
And did I hear something about a video?
That was as far as Waubagger got, because suddenly Thor was looming over him, with Mjolnir raised to strike.
What happened to back and forth?
Wondered Waubagger, as the hammer came down with a noise like a meteor impacting on a field of ice.
Goodbye, Trillion,
thought Waubagger, as he was driven 50 feet, straight down, into his grave.
Zark! I'm not dead.
Random, perched on the fence, watched as Waubagger crabbed one elbow out of a crack in the earth.
Oh, she grunted. The bugger's still alive.
Her mother Trillion, who had fainted, lay on the grass beside her.
Is that it?
Hillman Hunter called.
Is that the entire show?
Lame-o, pathetic,
shouted a voice from the crowd.
Thor is just warming up, that's all,
said Buff Orpington, Hillman's second in command.
Working out the kinks.
You'd better work them out fast, or we'll all be adoring the big cheese.
The surface chatter was abruptly halted by the sight of a vast, cone-shaped ship easing itself earthwards. There was almost complete silence for several moments, until a slender robot arm popped from a hatch in the strange ship's belly. At the tip of the arm was a blinking sensor that moved rapidly towards the crowd, telescoping over Waubagger's head, through Thor's legs, dodging Zaphod, and stopping finally in front of Random.
Random Dent,
it asked in a real robotic voice, back from when robots were robots.
Yeah, I guess.
Here is your package, and thank you for purchasing with UBID.
An envelope dropped from the robot arm into Random's waiting hand.
Enjoy your product.
She tore open the envelope and ran to where Thor was patiently enduring a pep talk from Hillman Hunter.
Put these on your hammer,
she said, interrupting the nanite leader. The Thunder God frowned.
I thought I heard something. Sort of a squeak, squeak, squeaky squeak.
Down here,
shouted Random. Thor bent over, elbows on knees.
Oh, look, a little girl. Do you want an autograph, is that it?
Listen to me, weatherman. I researched immortals on the sub-ether, and out of the thousands of hits I found on the topic, there was not a single tested and confirmed method of killing one.
Zaphod chuckled.
But this is Thor, girlie. He's the big time.
Well, he's going to look big time stupid in front of all these people when he can't kill the green man.
That's not going to happen, said Thor, without much conviction.
It won't happen if you put these on the head of your hammer.
Nothing goes on the hammer, kid. Mjolnir stays pure.
Random spoke slowly so the Thunder God would get the picture.
I did manage to find a theory by a little-known scientist that said that an immortal can only be killed by an object that has come from the same transformational event.
Even Zaphod could follow that.
So, what did transform Waubagger?
He fell into a particle accelerator trying to retrieve a couple of elastic bands. Bands that I bought on UBID from the High Priest of the Temple of Waubagger.
Guide note. In Waubagger's culture, elastic bands are religious symbols.
Thor reached out a finger and thumb.
Why don't I put those bands on my hammer? He said.
Balric Waubagger, the infinitely prolonged, was feeling a little light-headed, and it was a feeling he relished, as it reminded him of when he was mortal. As he lay prostrated in the dirt, he saw that there was someone else on the ground.
Trillion.
And this was the moment when Waubagger knew for sure that he was in love.
I'm coming,
he called, leaning into a run.
I'm coming!
A shadow fell across his face, something mountainous obscuring his view of Trillion.
Time for the big one, said Thor,
and Mjolnir hit him with such injurious force that it sent him straight into the stratosphere.
That's right, you green freak, thought Random. Off you go to the afterlife.
Is he dead?
Arthur strode to where Zaphod was massaging Thor's shoulder. Thor cocked an ear to the sky.
No, I can hear him coughing. One more whack should definitely do it.
Hey, guys, said Ford. You know, this isn't really fun anymore.
Thor sighed.
You know, I was thinking that. If there was a fight or something, the heroic struggle. But this is just me, the big guy, beating a little guy.
Arthur folded his arms and gave Zaphod the daddy look. That's right, which is why this whole thing stops right now.
Don't forget the fat ass thing.
Ford!
Arthur was shocked. Why would you bring that up?
Oh, sorry, that wasn't helpful, was it?
The Thunder God took a step to one side.
He's coming down.
Zaphod, are you prepared to have someone murdered just because he said you had a fat ass?
He's still coming down.
Thor, are you prepared to kill someone just to get a job?
He wants us to kill him, Arthur, said Zaphod.
Not anymore, said Arthur.
Really? Are you sure?
Thor took a step back.
Why don't we ask him?
Wowbagger hit the ground so hard that his immortality leapt out of him like a ghost image.
Ow!
He said.
That's... Ow! Painkillers, anyone?
Ford pulled a towel from his satchel.
Suck on the corner.
Thor hefted Mjolnir.
Any last words?
Wowbagger spat out the towel.
The deal's off. I need to live.
Aha! There, you see? Said Arthur. He wants to live. You can't just kill him.
I can't, chuckled Thor. Who says I can't? You?
Trillian appeared suddenly, barging her way past the men, dropping to her knees by Wowbagger's crater.
No, I say it, you big monster. I love this man, alien, or whatever he is, and you're not going to take him from me.
Oh, Zark safe.
Thor was astute enough to see the media downside of hammering through a defenceless woman to kill a broken man.
Ah, there must be some small victory yet to be gleaned from this situation, said Zaphod. At least announce the cheese.
Wowbagger coughed and groaned.
No problem, I hate cheese.
Zaphod turned to the crowd with his arms raised preacher high.
Wowbagger is defeated. He has renounced the cheese and embraced Thor as his god.
Hillman Hunter punched the air, and Buff Orpington launched himself into a bunch of tyromancers and punched everyone he could. Zaphod relaxed instantly.
Good, a riot. Riots always work well for me.
Vogon Bureau Cruiser Class Hyperspace Ship, the business end.
Hyperspace cleared its throat and hawked out the Vogon Bureau Cruiser into the clear swathe of satin space, 0.01 parsecs beyond Nano's thermosphere. Prostetnik Jeltz was first at his station.
Less sloth, you useless galley wragglers. Show a little croomst.
Guide note. If all Vogons are repulsive bureaucratic sadists, how does one get ahead in their society? It is a matter of being more Vogonish than the rest. The Vogons have a word for it, croomst. As in,
that Prostetnik Vogon Jeltz. You see what he did to that orphanage? Barely a stick remains. That boy has real crumpst. Yeah, he's a crumpster. He's got crumpst coming out his crimpter.
Jeltz cranked open his jaw to holler for moan, but saw from the corner of his eye that the little constant was already bobbing at his elbow.
He thought, that boy moves pretty darn fast for one of us. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
It was, he decided, a consider-it-later thing. The first priority was to exterminate the Earthlings. This time, there would be no survivors.
Think bitter thoughts,
Jeltz advised his crew. The business end clanked and ka-chunked with the ominous sounds of torpedo tubes being loaded and plasma cannons being brought to bear.
And Another Thing by Owen Colfer was abridged by Penny Lester and read by Stephen Mangan with Peter Serafinovich. It was produced by Heather Lama. And if you want to catch up with the latest episode, just go to the iPlayer at bbc.co.uk. Mr. Tumnus, the mythical fawn from Narnia, tries out for Britain's Got Talent in a couple of minutes, and a talking doll gets her own back. One is after the news.